Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back in making his ninth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Florida A&M head coach Willie Simmons. Let me remind you a little bit about Willie's background. He is from Quincy, Florida. In college, he played quarterback for 3 years at Clemson and finished his final season in 2003 at the Citadel. Following the 2003 season, he was named the first team All-Southern Conference. And in 2006, he went back to Clemson to start his coaching career as a graduate assistant on Tommy Bowden's staff back then. From 2007 to 2011, he moved over to Middle Tennessee State as their running backs coach and later moved up to be their offensive coordinator. Spent 2012 to 2014 as the offensive coordinator at Alcorn State before accepting the head coaching job at Prairie View A&M. Over three seasons there, he led the Panthers to a 22-11 record. Last season, he guided Florida A&M to a 6-5 record, which is the highest win total they've had since 2011. Willie was inducted into our guest Hall of Fame last year, and he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. I've got my Florida A&M t-shirt back on in honor of Willie. Really, like, really glad to have him back as part of the show tonight. Hey, Coach, Chris and Bob, thanks for joining us again tonight.
Hey, Willie. Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going really well, Willie. So tell us how it's going with you, Willie. Talk about your new recruiting class and the guys you've got coming back this season.
Well, we're really excited about the class that we were able to put together. Obviously, at our level, we don't pay as much attention to the rankings as maybe the Power 5 schools, but we were ranked in the top 35 in FCS recruiting, which for HBCUs was, I think, third or fourth overall. So very excited about the 21 young men that we signed this year. Looking forward to getting those guys here this summer and adding them to what is a loaded roster. We return most of the guys from last year's team. Of the 9 all-conference players that we had selected, 7 of them return. And so a lot of experience coming back. I think we've added some firepower. So, again, looking forward to finishing up spring practice with the current team and then, of course, adding the additions this summer as we begin our quest to try to get our first MEAC championship since 2011 and not just a winning season.
And Willie, one of the things that we've talked with you about every time you've joined us, and one of the many things that we love about you, is how devoted you are to developing great young men who are going to positively impact their communities far beyond when they play college football and graduate from college. I saw that 24 of your players finished the fall semester with a 3.0 or higher GPA. Talk about the focus that you put on to make sure your players are going to class and getting a good education.
Well, that's what it's really all about. You know, again, I grew up playing this game. It's given me a lot of experiences and really enhanced my life in a lot of ways. But the foundation always was academics and what my mind was able to help me achieve. And so I was raised by an educator. My mother taught school for 29 years before she became terminally ill and was forced to retire. Again, I'm married to an educator and a daughter of an educator. So it's in our blood, and, you know, that's one of the main platforms here at Florida A&M. And so we stress all the little things, important things about what this experience can give you in life. But without an education, none of it matters. And so we're really excited to have those 24 guys honored by the league office for making academic, MEAC all-academic team and having a 3.0 GPA. And that's something that we're continuing to try to improve our academic standing amongst our student athletes, and currently have a higher graduation rate than the rest of the student body. And that's something that we're very, very proud of as an athletic department. And so one of my main initiatives is to continue to try to implement programs that continue to enhance the academic lives there at Florida A&M, but also prepare them for the job force when their playing days are over. So happy for those guys, but 24 is not enough for me when we have a team of about 105. So I want to try to get that number closer to 100 than hopefully this time next year.
And Willie, a moment ago, you talked about the all-conference players that you have coming back. Who do you think the FAMU fans should be look forward to seeing making big steps forward from last year to this year? Who are going to be the exciting guys?
I think our receiving core is really one to really pay attention to. If anyone's familiar with Florida A&M football back in the 90s when Billy Joe was leading them to conference championships and leading the nation in scoring about every year, their receiving core was known as the Rack Boys. So Rack, obviously in football terms, stands for run after catch. And so we have a group of guys from last year that are returning this year, all four of our leading pass catchers. And so we're kind of creating the Rack Boys 2.0. Xavier Smith was second team all conference last year. I think he led the conference in reception yards or receptions. Chad Hunter was a third team selection last year. Marcus Williams is a big play deep ball threat that runs on the track team as well. And then Azende Ray is kind of the do it all guy who plays receiver, plays some running back, kick return guy. So we definitely have a talented group of pass catchers. And that really bodes well for Ryan Stanley, who will be returning for his fourth year as a starting quarterback. And is, I think, about 1,300 yards short of breaking the school all-time passing yardage record.
Bob, questions for Willie?
Hey, Willie, it's great to speak with you as always. And you mentioned spring practice, Willie. Just for our listeners out there, Willie, can you explain what the goal of spring practice is for you personally and how it really differs from a practice, say, during the middle of the season?
The one thing I think about spring practice is it really gives you an opportunity to truly stress fundamentals. Whenever you get to the season, obviously whenever you're playing the game every 7 days with about 4 or 5 preparation days in between, you don't have a lot of time to stress fundamentals. You're worried about, you know, scheme. The defenses and offenses change from week to week. So 1 week you may be playing a team that's a spread offense. The next week you may be playing a high formation team. So you have to make sure you, as coaches, you do a great job in the fall of preparing your team for what they'll see schematically. The spring, you don't have to worry about that because the only team you're playing is yourself. We'll scrimmage a few times. We'll obviously have a spring game to culminate spring practice, but it really gives us a chance to really hone in on the fundamentals, on the details of our position, to really baby step our guys, especially the young guys who didn't have an opportunity to play last year. This is really their first full opportunity to show what they can do. And so it gives you just a chance to slow things down and focus on, again, those fine, intricate details of the position that will really make you better come fall. And for a lot of those guys, that's their last opportunity. Not last, but that's really their opportunity to kind of show the coaches what they have before you bring in 25 new guys who are trying to, you know, of course, compete for positions as well.
And Willie, talk back to recruiting for a second. Obviously, you have a great eye for talent. You're getting people there. You always have gotten good guys on your team. But again, Chris mentioned it, you're interested in molding men. And I'm just wondering about the recruiting process. You probably come across guys that can play, and I'm sure you've done in the past, very, very good athletes, but they just didn't fit the mold either morally or whatever to be one of the players that you wanted on your team. But talk more about that. The NFL has the Wunderlich test, all those things. I mean, you must do a lot, not just looking at film and how they can do on the field, but you must get into these people's lives and know that they're going to succeed at your place.
Well, no question about it. You know, I think the NFL obviously highlights their process a lot more than maybe college, as far as the interview process on the combine, the Wunderlich test and all those different things. But for us, it's the same thing. You know, they're bringing in 7 to 10 guys that they draft. We're bringing in 25 to 30. And so whenever you're adding that many pieces to a football team, you want to make sure that you're bringing in the right type of guys. And that doesn't mean that all of them will have 4.0 GPAs or that they will all be model citizens and done everything right. But we do look for a guy that fits our profile. And what that profile for us is, a young man who's self-motivated and self-driven, you know, who has goals in life, who really wants more from himself than he's, you know, achieving at that current point. And so if they have those characteristics, if they're willing to be a part of a team, to grow as a group and not worry about their individual accolades and stats and all of those things, then that's, you know, the type of guy that we want to bring in. And like I said, they may have some issues previously, but again, I think that maturation process is integral in our job as coaches. You know, again, I think our platform as leaders and mentors and molders of young men, it's very, very important. It's a very important part of the job that we do every day. So, you know, those guys are really the reason that I coach. You know, the ones who maybe didn't come from the best background or who didn't have the best history as far as, you know, some of the decisions that they made. But, you know, we can rehabilitate those guys as far as giving them an opportunity to do better with themselves, to be able to see what a college education, what this football game can do for them. And then again, help them become the young men and the eventually grown men that they want to be so that they can go back and influence their community, that they can go back and have a positive change on the next generation of guys coming up and young women coming up. So that's really what we look for. And I think we try to put a program together that shows that as much as we can. It shows parents, prospective student athletes, coaches, people in the community that we're about more than just winning football games, that we're about molding and developing young men to be the very best that they can be.
Willie, I want to talk a little X's and O's and look ahead to next season a bit with you. And right out of the gate, you get one of the hottest teams in the country over the last couple of years, and that's UCF. They've been right there in the top 10. And you guys get to take him on week one. How do you prepare your guys for the opportunity to be giant killers in week one?
Well, you know, again, as a player, I played in those type of games at Clemson. Obviously, we played smaller schools. As a coach, I've been on both sides of it. And so the thing that I've tried to do since I've been a head coach at this level is really just explain to the guys what it takes to be able to go down and beat a team like that. You know, at the end of the day, on paper, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll win the game. It just means that, you know, we have to play very, very sound football. And so, you know, for us, it's about the little things. It's about, you know, not going down there and beating ourselves. It's about giving ourselves the best opportunity to win on every snap. And that's not making mistakes. That's knowing our assignment. That's being unselfish, you know, not getting personal fouls. And then the thing that I see the most in those type of games is the special teams factor. And a lot of times in games like that, a special teams play will really shift the momentum in a major way for the favorite, and negatively for the underdog or vice versa. You know, again, when you look at the Michigan, I think when App State beat Michigan, then it was a while ago, that was kind of the first major, major giant killer. I think it was a couple of block field goals that App State had on Michigan and things like that. And you need things like, you know, you need those type of plays in those type of games. So, we're going to work extremely hard on special teams, not just for that game, but because we feel like it's one of the three important phases of the game. And, hopefully we can prepare ourselves throughout the summer, throughout August to be fundamentally sound enough to give ourselves the best possible chance to go down there and play a game that gives us the best chance to win.
So following that game, Willie, you've got a bye week, and then you get your home opener against Fort Valley State in the Jake Gaither Classic. And Fort Valley is a team you routed last year 41-7. So this is sort of the opposite side of the coin we just talked about with UCF. How do you keep your players focused on when they're taking on a Division II school so you don't end up being the giant that the Division II school killed?
That's a great question. And those psychological games are really a huge part of being a head coach. And so, you know, it's the same message, but on the flip side. So just like the week before or 2 weeks prior to the Fort Valley game this year, we'll go in as the underdog, heavy underdog, and try to upset a favorite at their home place. And we're going to prepare extremely hard. We're going to believe with every breath of our body that if we do the little things right, that we'll have a chance to win the game. Well, the next week, well, then Fort Valley has that same mindset that if they're practicing it just as much as we are, they're going to line up with 11 guys on the field just like we will. And if we go out there with a mindset of, oh, well, they're a Division II team and, you know, we're Division I, so we're just going to roll over them, well, then we'll find ourselves in a dogfight. And so for us, really, one message that I've given the guys really ever since I've been coaching, and I got it from Alcorn State, David Whitney, who's a legendary coach, their basketball coach there, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. He was quote unquote a giant killer in basketball. Alcorn beat Michigan State, Indiana, a lot of those programs back in the 70s. And when he spoke to the team at Alcorn, he had a message that, you know, every game is a big game. You know, every game is the biggest game of your life, you know, because it's the next game that you get to play. And when you take that mindset, there's no such thing as playing up for an opponent or playing down to an opponent. You know, the next game that you get to play is the most important game that you have ever played. It's the biggest game that you have ever played in your life. Why? Because it's the next one that the good Lord has given us the opportunity to play. And we try to take that approach every single week, whether it's a Division I FBS opponent, a Division II opponent, a non-conference opponent, or the Florida Classic against our in-state rival. And that keeps that, if you take that approach, it kind of keeps your guys from having those moments where they feel like the game is too big for them, or they're not preparing because they, you know, they feel like they're taking the game for granted. And we've been pretty good with that message over the last few years, and hopefully we can continue to grow it. And our guys buy into it, and it allows us to play our best ball every opportunity that we get on the field.
Willie, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things that you're doing down there at Florida A&M? How can they follow you and the Rattlers and stay up to date throughout the college football season?
Well, you can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, at HC as in head coach, Willie Simmons. So that's HC Willie Simmons. On Facebook, just my name, Willie R. Simmons. And then you can follow Florida A&M University Athletics on our website, FAMUAthletics.com. We have a football page. I think it's Rattler FAMU Football Recruiting is our football page on Twitter and Instagram. And we try to continue to, you know, update that information as much as possible. But definitely follow me at HC Willie Simmons.
Coach, you're the best. You're absolutely one of our all-time favorite human beings. We can't thank you enough for your support and your friendship over the years. You know we're big fans of wherever you are. We were big fans of you and watched the program at Prairie View A&M. We did it before when you were at Alcorn State, and we're certainly right there now when you are at Florida A&M. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Well, hey, guys, I appreciate it, and I heard your promo about Louisville, about the Louisville Slugger Museum, and every time I walk in the house, one of the first things I see is my Hall of Fame bat from you guys, from Louisville Slugger. So I appreciate that. And it's definitely one of the best honors that I've ever received as a coach player.
We appreciate you, Willie. Take care, Willie. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you during the season.
Talk again.
See you, Willie. That is Willie Simmons. And I mean it 100% sincerely. And I know you do as well, Bob. There's just not a finer head coach and not a finer person for what he does, for molding great young men and making them into great people out in their communities and doing great things far beyond the football field. That's what Willie's influence and the type of person that Willie is. And boy, we just couldn't be prouder to have him as part of our guest Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Chris, I just had that same feeling when you hear him talk. He uses those same three words every time he comes on the show, molding young men. It always comes off his lips at some point. And that's what he's all about. And the football is just secondary. And that's the kind of guy we just love to talk to, picking his brain, and very supportive family. And we'll get more into that the next time we talk to him about the families of these college coaches who support things like what Willie's doing. And so they deserve a lot of credit, too. So we love the man, and there's a reason why he's in the Hall of Fame.